Good morning to everyone. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death. But the grace of God, life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, therefore, shall be cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. And dear faithful, Jesus came to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. This was the primary subject about which he spoke, and everything else that he said had to do with what the kingdom of heaven is like and how we are supposed to get there. At the end of today's gospel, we see he tells us who is going to the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Those who do the will of my Father, those will go into the kingdom of heaven." Not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of the Father, all of those will enter the kingdom of heaven. So some of those that say, "Lord, Lord," will do the will of the Father as well as saying, "Lord, Lord." Others of them will say, "Lord, Lord," and they will not do the will of the Father in heaven. And even though they've said, "Lord, Lord," they will not go to heaven because they've not done the will of the Father. Now, we human creatures, after the fall of Adam, which is just about the whole race ever since, you know, just Adam was the only one, and Adam and Eve are the only ones without original sin, the exception of the Blessed Mother. And then they spoiled it, they committed it. Right? So in our human condition, taking into consideration original sin, We very much tend to do whatever we feel like doing. If we feel like doing this, we do it. If we don't feel like doing this, we don't do it. And we very easily let our feelings be our guide. Now, my dear friends, if you really think about it, that's a stupid way to act, a stupid way to live. Why is it so stupid? First of all, because our feelings are not founded on intelligence. Intelligence is the faculty which God gives in order to judge what is proper. Feelings are just an instinct, and instincts can lead us astray. Instinct can draw us into stupidities. And that's why our feelings cannot be trusted, contrary to what Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Luke Skywalker. Trust your feelings, Luke. Well, you can't always trust your feelings. They're not always right. And so what do? The answer is always the same thing. Think! Use your brains. They can lead you to right answers. They can lead you to wrong answers too. But not if you think correctly and consider all the factors in the equation. You go to a mathematics class in high school and they give you some algebra equations to work on or something like that. If you learn your basics of mathematics and your algebra, and the teacher gives you a problem to solve, if you think clearly and reckon, you're going to get the answer right. Don't you think you can do the same thing with morals as you can with mathematics? Yes, you can. But you have to want to get the right answer. Most of those who fail their math classes, most of them, I say, not every one of them, some of them are just completely incapable of reasoning, you know, mentally retarded. Right? But most of them who do not do well on their math is because they really don't care if the answers they put are the right answers or not. And so they put a minimal amount of effort into thinking, and they'll get mediocre or failing grades. But if you have an average intelligence and a desire to get good scores and to get the right answers, you're going to do very well in mathematics, as long as your professor presents what he should to you so you have the tools to do it. And the same thing applies to getting to heaven. If we really don't care much about getting to heaven, you won't be getting there. It's something you gotta want. That was the answer that St. Thomas Aquinas gave to his sister. One day his sister started to recognize holiness in Thomas Aquinas, her brother. And then after some time, she thought she'd ask him, well, how do I become holy? How do I become a saint? And she asked him, and he said, you gotta want it, sis. If you want it, you'll do it, and nothing can stop you. So that's what we have to do, most of all, of anything in this world, is to want the kingdom of heaven, and not just a little, but more than anything else that we want. It ought to be, kingdom of heaven ought to be the most frequent subject of our thoughts. How far we are from that in most cases. We ought to be thinking of it a lot. God in His mercy has given us death as a remedial punishment. It's a punishment, for sure, because of Adam's sin and our own sins. But it's also a remedy. When we're drawing near to death, we begin to realize that we're going to have to leave this world behind, and we're going to face Christ, our judge. Then we start thinking about the kingdom of heaven a little bit. But for the most part, when we're not faced with death, we're not thinking about it. We're busy with other occupations. And it's unfortunate, but we have to be busy to some degree with other occupations. What I'm saying is that we ought to be systematic and careful about thinking of heaven as often as possible and remind ourselves that's the only thing that matters in the long run. Because we will leave this world behind sooner or later. The church has the funeral rites that are given to those who die in the bosom of the church. You bring the casket in, the dead body of your dead body's inside the casket. Your soul's already gone to its judgment. And there, the mass is offered for the person who died and whose body is right there. There's a blessing given to the body after the mass, and then we take it to the cemetery and put it down inside the ground, blessing the cemetery and saying the final prayers before we leave the buried person's body there in the cemetery. That's going to happen. If we're lucky, we'll get a Catholic funeral. Most of you just by the way. If you want to be buried at St. Isidore's, you better convince your family that that's what they ought to do, because they're the ones that are going to make the decision, not you. You're dead. So try to convince them that that's what they ought to do, because there's nothing we can do to stop them if they take you somewhere else. In any case, we all die, whether we're buried here or not. And the main thing is that we have sought the kingdom of heaven with our life. And we celebrated yesterday Father Joseph Dreher, his 10th anniversary in the priesthood. And he was speaking a little bit downstairs about vocations, and he said that it was the best thing you could possibly do with your life is to give the whole thing to God. In the church, in some capacity in the church, like, for example, to be a priest or a monk or a brother or a nun, a sister. In this way, a person gives their whole life to the service of God and His church. And doing so, he becomes worthy of consideration. More worthy of consideration than he would have had he not done such a thing for God when he could have. Of course, not everybody is able. Some of you would say, Father, I do that, but my wife, she would object, you know, or her husband would object. So you're not able to do those things. But you have to give yourself to God in whatever capacity you can, and those are the best. The very best capacity to give yourself to God, if it's possible, is in the service of the church and of God by a vocation, a religious vocation of some kind. This gives us already something we can show Jesus. If he says to us when we're judged, he says, "What did you do for me?" What will you be able to tell him? You want to have something precious to offer at that moment. And so today's gospel teaches us that we have to seek the kingdom of heaven. We have to bring forth good fruits, as a good tree can only do. We have to be good trees, and being good by the holy faith and by seeking after the kingdom of heaven and by obedience, doing the will of God who is in heaven, thinking of what he wants from me. And the smart man is looking always to see what God wants next from him. And we can see very clearly the Ten Commandments. If we don't know the Ten Commandments by heart, we're really in trouble. If we don't know what each one of them means, we're lacking in our religious education. We would be called ecclesiastical illiterates, as they say, instead of, computer illiterate, right? Some people are computer illiterate, but that's not necessarily a shame to them. But to be a theological illiterate, that's a shame. Because if we don't, they lived without computers for centuries and centuries. And things were well enough because there were souls going to heaven. Right? Now we've got the computers and many people going to hell because of the way they use their computer. And so being computer illiterate is not necessarily a black mark before God's eyes, right? Maybe some of your peers don't like it, right? But that's their problem. We want to see what God likes. Nothing wrong with knowing how to use the computer, but it's not a requisite for heaven. But what is a requisite for heaven is knowing your faith. If you're not familiar with all the faith, something's wrong. Then we have to see the words at the beginning. We work backwards to the beginning of the gospel. That he speaks about the fruits, the good fruits, they come from a good tree, and the good tree is made good by this faith. When we know our religion, that's one of the things that makes us good, and then by using our religion. So to know it and to use it, to keep the Ten Commandments, to practice our religion by the Sunday worship. I hate to say it, and it's kind of a shame to us in a way in this church, that there is a number of you here who come only occasionally to this church. Maybe you have a serious reason that you can't come every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. God knows that. But I am sure that out of all those who come only occasionally, a certain number of them are guilty of not coming more often. And the church law requires Sunday attendance at Mass every Sunday and on certain holy days of obligation throughout the year as well. And if we didn't know that, something's wrong. How are we going to expect Jesus to bring us to heaven if we refuse to even investigate and follow those things which he wants from us? He will say, you didn't care. You didn't treat me like your God. To treat God like our God, we want to find out what does he want from us in this short stay on planet Earth. And instead of following our feelings, we ought to follow God. Get our anatomy out of the sack on Sunday morning. Get to Mass and the sacraments. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to follow the Ten Commandments and obey them in every instance. And he wants you to do a little something for him in this world. Something that you don't absolutely have to do. So you can show him, Lord, I did this because I love you. And if we're doing those things, we have a certain peace of heart, knowing that God is, we're doing something for God, and that is because we love him. Nothing can satisfy us more than having our own proof that we really do love God. So this feast, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, let's just put ourselves in the right frame of mind and begin to keep ourselves there so that we can join all the saints. That is where we belong. Nothing else will do for us. We need heaven. It is the only thing that we really need in the long run. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.